Cash it down, tap a scratch is only beauty spot. When one duty start is when one duty stop. 1 9 to 5, 1 5 to 12 o'clock, you see me? And I remember when we met and we began dating, and everything was copacetic and we began mating. And then the women of our Gucci give me down ratings. We call me style and plenty full and I know one rating. And she get her belly full and I know part scrapings. And the closer we become, the more she gravitating. Until we buckle down and there is no escaping. Now we typically become an everyday thing. Regularly, physically communicating. Sexually, scientifically penetrating. Until she starts spiritually resonating. As on-
This is CKLN 88.1 FM, licensed by the Canadian Radio Television and Telecommunications Commission to broadcast in stereo at 88.1 MHz on the FM band. CKLN is owned and operated by CKLN Radio Incorporated, which is located at Ryerson University within the Student Campus Centre in Toronto, Canada.
At the time of license application, CKLN filed a comprehensive promise of performance with the Commission, and within that document made specific commitments to its operations and programming. The license issued by the CRTC requires CKLN to honor these commitments made in the promise of performance and to comply with the FM radio broadcasting regulations.
A copy of the license with the promise of performance and conditions of licensing is available for inspection by any member of the public at the offices of the Commission and at the offices of CKLN during business hours. Radio frequencies are public property in Canada. CKLN invites your comments and inquiries.
Our mailing address is 55 Gould Street, Toronto, Ontario, postal code M5B1E9, phone number 416-979-5251.
Thank you for tuning in to CKLN 88.1 FM, and good morning.
Hit me in the nose, we'll see how it goes. So what the deal, riders? What you expect? Adrenaline rushing through, it's just like a geyser gushing. Too much Budweiser in my blood. I'm strangling you and pipe for nothing. My signature is lick at your marks. Look at you all big with your remarks. And I swing a nice pick at your heart. At least that's what it feels like when I pick you apart and dig at you and break you down like the bitch that you are. The predicament starts when I throw a brick at your car. The pain inflicted upon you is so sick, it's bizarre. Shit, this is almost ridiculous. It did get this far. It's having me want to rip out your freaking ligaments. Ah, you hit like a bitch. You scratch me with your nails for that. You catch an open hand slap like a female. Like Bat. In fact, I'll have the crowd smacking you themselves. Where's D12? I don't feel like doing this by myself. So come on. So what the deal, riders? Would you excuse me while I feel my nuts? My balls are feeling mighty big now. I might just have to dig down and pull them through my britches. I said, so what the deal, riders? Would you excuse me while I feel my nuts? My balls are feeling mighty big now. I might just have to dig down and pull them through my britches. Yeah. Hey Dre, you got me feeling like I can't be touched right now, fool. I'm unstoppable, damn.
CKLN listeners, it is Tuesday, August 17th, 2010. You are listening to CKLN's Rude Awakening here on 88.1 CKLN FM radio, CKLN.FM online, and Rogers Cable Box 947. Started off the show in a bit of a hurry with Eminem's Riders. Hopefully people aren't too upset by that. But honestly, if people that complain about the show shouldn't be listening. And the people that do complain and that are listening are in fact they're sending in complaints to the CRTC like 3 weeks late. Like I got a show on July 8th where there's some cursing in some of the music I'm playing, and then the complaint sent in July 30th. So there are enemies of the station. And those enemies of the station, you know, I've been scrapping with us for a couple of years, and I don't want to give them any more airtime or pub than that. But put it this way, it makes no sense. I know I went and tried to file a police complaint against the promoters of an event at Dundas Square where a New Orleans, you know, bounce artist or whatever was talking mad smack, semi-pornographic stuff on stage, and there's a bunch of kiddies there, and he was just cursing his head off, and then there was guys and girls on stage doing crazy things. I had no problem with that, except it's at Dundas Square. It's in public, and you can see in the audience of, you know, 200-400 people that, you know, there's like, you know, a couple of dozen kids there at least. And so once, you know, if I knew there's a couple of dozen kids listening, then I wouldn't have played that song. But you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 to 7 in the morning, it makes no sense. It is radio. You know, you should be like, cause kids don't even listen to radio. You know, and if they do, they certainly don't listen to, you know, news talk radio. So whatever, but those people are making a stink, and so, you know, we're gonna try and play clean, and I'm gonna have to figure out a way around this. And here on Rude Awakening, as your host BK, aka Black Krishna, aka Vijay Sharma, I do try and break down a bit of the game behind the games behind the game of life, and the fact that the world is run by a new world order behind globalization. The new world order is basically what they're trying to create. If you look at the U.S. dollar bill, it says Novus Ordo Seclorum, new secular order. And by that, they mean they want to kill God, they want to make themselves the boss, and they want to have a scientific dictatorship where they control us. And that, you know, again, they didn't ask us first. If somebody asked you out there, are you okay with being lobotomized? Then what would you say? You'd have to say, if you can, you'd have to say no. And so if we can, we have to say no. I don't know why I got to push this thing three times to make it play. Anyway, it's just, I'm working with a crazy CD player here. Waka, waka, waka. So I discussed various different elements and facets of that plan, you know, here on the show, where essentially they want to dehumanize, dumb us down, rob and murder us. And we're going through stages in this plan. Now, you know, and we can stop them. We can stop them. You know, they're like a 5-year-old, you know, hacking at your chin with a butter knife. And you know, if you want to, you could just, and we're humanity. We're like a fully grown adult, and they're like a 5-year-old. That's why they're so scared of us. They wouldn't want to lobotomize us if we couldn't think. But now they're talking about brain-eating vaccines and adding lithium to the water supply, and they're building a brand new CAMH, Center for Addiction and Mental Health, 27-acre, you know, concentration camp over at Queen and Ossington, brand new, broke ground in February, and it's you know, should be up to speed within the next year or two. For us. And I had a caller here. I don't know what this caller is on about, but we'll find out. One sec. Anyway, so they're building this brand new, you know, CAMH mental health concentration camp up the street there. And I've talked to people who've been in and out of CAMH. I know that there was even a wing, and this is confirmed from two independent sources who didn't know each other. There was a wing at CAMH. This is the old CAMH up at College in Spadina or whatever. This is like a few different locations in Toronto. There is a wing at CAMH that's dedicated to helping people recover from their time at CAMH. So if you go through the CAMH system and you get all messed up by drugs or some crazy talk, then you can go to another place where there are people who are also dedicated health professionals. They're just dedicated to fixing the people that went through CAMH. So we do live in a world where they employ a couple of different techniques. One is problem, reaction, solution. They create our problems, and we go, this is terrible. Then they give us our reaction. This is an outrage. And they give us a solution. Let's create, you know, a new bureaucracy, or let's give this bureaucracy more money. And as you can see, through this method, they've grown the government. This is a hyper-aggressive form of socialism. And yet, when you see, like, say, for example, the native population, you know, say the Department of Indian Affairs, it's still called that. It should be called Native, but whatever. The Department of Indian Affairs, not that that's important. You know, what they do is more important than that. Although that, you know, hey, you shouldn't be disrespecting people when they want to be called by certain things, Inuit instead of Eskimo and so on. But the point is, if you look at the fact that their department had, you know, maybe $50 million budget back in 1960, and they got probably, who knows, $5 billion budget now, and the natives are still screwed, been screwed over the last 50 years, you can see the people behind the plan. You know, they're still hidden, but obviously, you know, the solutions they proposed haven't worked. So instead of just accepting, you know, what's happening here as being normal. Like, yeah, people try their best and we just constantly fail and things constantly get worse. Eh. I'm telling you. Anyway, instead of accepting that paradigm, you know, we have to be open to looking for new information out there, because if we accept that paradigm, eventually we'll get caught up in it. You know, there's already riots in Atlanta breaking out over food stamps and housing, as the government says we don't have enough money to do this well. You know, we don't have enough money to do Katrina relief well. To do BP oil spill relief well, to take care of homelessness. I just read an article in the Toronto Sun yesterday, ironically, because I talked about some of this, about the teenage prostitution rings and sex trafficking and human trafficking rings. And there's an interview with a Detective Weaver, a female police officer, works for Metro Toronto Police, who was saying, yeah, this is terrible. We should treat this like it's the most important problem in the world. There should be no damn resource shortages when there's a bunch of, you know, little girls, mostly, and boys for that matter, on the streets getting pimped. But when you start to see a consistent pattern of the government ignoring, you know, the needs of the weakest and most vulnerable people in our society, despite what they say, and the feds and others have been saying since, you know, 06, 07, they've been passing all these resolutions, making it a top priority to deal with human trafficking. Except, if you know about the New World Order and about the central banking, you know, mafia behind all this, who, you know, use satanic pedophile cults to corrupt and compromise the world, then you realize that the reason governments aren't getting behind this and the reason big corporations aren't getting behind this in a serious way, I mean, the Body Shop will have a, you know, donate money to some NGO so they could bother governments to do what they wouldn't do before, you know, type thing. The reason that they don't try and stop this is because this is how they compromise people. And this is and the people, many members of the government and many other of the political elite are the ones who are, in fact, using the services provided by human trafficking and by vulnerable girls being approached and then basically, you know, conned into a life of sex slavery, which is no life at all. So they give us problem, reaction, solution. But if we don't study that model carefully, if we just rely on the, you know, the catchphrases, then we get caught out. And then they also work long term. You know, they have a long-term agenda. And so, you know, they make changes that take place over time. They may introduce ideas, and we have no idea. We think everything's cool. I mean, video games, when they first came out, were really fairly innocent. Super Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong, you know, all that type of thing. But the plan by the Pentagon and by others, you know, who are working at the behest of a handful of banking families, maybe a couple hundred people in the world, really, a committee of 300, according to, who's the author again? John somebody. Anyway, people have been exposing this forever. But the point is that there are plans out there. There are plans out there to take us from A to Z. And as we get closer to Z, you know, which, you know, depending on how you define it, could be, you know, the depopulation of planet Earth from 7 billion down to 1 billion or 500 million. And according to several, you know, documents and sources, see the movie Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement, and pass it on. So people realize why they have to get motivated or depopulated. But more recently, their end game is as I can tell, world government by 2012. And how do they do that? How do they plan on getting us there? Well, they plan on, again, dumbing us down, dehumanizing us, robbing and murdering us. And some of that is through the use of technology. Now, I'm not anti-technology, but I do think that it's important for us to understand the effects of it. So on that note, I'm gonna give this over to Mr. Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com. This show's episode number 629, Why Government Loves the Ostrich, Many Won't Stand While Head in the Sand. And it's true, and this is about the new stalker networking technology and Canada being GMO fooled. So keep in mind out there that you know, they're selling us things like Facebook and plenty of fish, and you can tell when someone's read your profile and you know, whether or not they've read your messages. And there's new technology coming out for social networking that allows people to tell where you are. You're basically like a junior NSA. And you can see, you know, why they sold us so much of this and so much of shows about cops and detectives and soldiers and movies and intelligence agents, because they're now all coming public. You know, the bureaucracy that's meant to micromanage our lives is coming out in public. And they got us twittering. So that, you know, we say things in 140 characters or less, which means we can't say anything complicated enough to either figure out or explain what the hell's going on. Now, we're not dead yet, and the bad guys know it, so that's why they keep putting up more cameras and keep putting more drugs out and keep trying to, you know, build new ways to control us. But again, if we don't stop them, we will be. So, you know, here's a tip on social networking and on why the few people that can stand up got to stand up. And I'm personally, I know that you can't rely on a bunch of weak people to follow you around because they'll just fold. You know, when things get hot, they'll fold. I mean, it's just whatever. What you need is if you're someone in this game who's a strategist like myself, is you need strong people to go, you know what, I'm down with defending my family. I'm down with defending my block. I'm down with taking care of my business and working with some friends to do so. You seem to know a lot about this area. Any suggestions? And then it's like, sure, blah, 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 blah. And then off you go. And we can stay in touch on these issues. And that's the way this is going to have to work. I know, because I know the opposite. The opposite is that, you know, you'll be like a mother bird. And if you don't chew the baby worm up well enough, then the kids will spit it back out. And it's like, you can't... This is not about me. Nobody doing me no favors by staying alive. Do yourself one. This is Alan Watt from CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com.
I'm back, and we're cutting through the matrix, talking about just the general state of affairs today, as we're all trained along a certain path, and how, again, you can count on the majority to really sell everyone else out, including themselves too, because you see, everything becomes so convenient when they're giving them new phones all the time, dishing out piecemeal, because I'm sure the end product that you'll get eventually down the road will be something they had at the very beginning. But you've got to be trained that they're on the cutting edge, you see, as you come up with from the floppy to this, to this, to this, to this, to this, to this, and then, you know, you've got to believe they're just doing it piecemeal and working hard as you go along to give you the best. The whole idea of the internet was to have a controlled society, to make sure everyone would have the same information given to them at all times, to make sure that everyone was monitored 24 hours a day. All of their personality profiles are put into a program in the Pentagon for the Canada and the States and elsewhere, and to have a virtual world with a virtual you, and they can pretty well predict what you will do in any circumstance, because yet they have complete profiles in you. How? Because you gave it to them. And you can't help people like that. You really can't help them. And you see, democracy works a wonderful way too. They'll say, well, eventually when these things become mandatory and you've got to have these things on you, these particular phones and so on, and carry them everywhere you go, like an ID card, they always wait until a certain percentage have got them, then they'll say to the rest, well, we're making it law now because X amount of people have got them. And that's how democracy works. They use the stupid ones to make sure the rest of them follow into line by passing laws. Here's an article on one of the new ones that's out here, Foursquare Cyber Stalker. The guy's calling it Cyber Stalker. He was a reporter telling you about this wonderful new application that's out, and how Fokker's going into it by the millions. Of course, it's an ad at the same time, as it kind of scares you at the same time. But it's really an ad. And it's the 27th of July. It says, move over Twitter. There's a new social networking tool. Everyone's talking about. Well, I hadn't heard about it. Once I've said it tonight, I won't mention it again. A bit out my head. It says, but is Foursquare, which reveals your exact location to other people, a stalker's dream? And then Leo Hickman, the reporter, reveals how he used it to follow a stranger. Well, don't forget that the NSA are the guys that want you to have these things in the first place. Don't ever forget that. That should be in this story too, but it's not. It says Louise has, she mentions how she looks in the whole thing because she's got a photograph of her. And her age, she's in her 30s, she works in a recruitment organization. And he knows what train station she uses, what supermarket she shopped at last night, where she met her friends for a meal in her hometown last week. At the moment, she's somewhere inside a pub in front of me meeting with colleagues after work. But Louise is a complete stranger. Until 10 minutes ago, when I discovered she was located within a mile of me, I didn't even know of her existence. But equipped only with a smartphone and increasingly popular social networking application called Foursquare, very Masonic too, I have located her to within just a few meters, accessed her Twitter account, and conducted multiple cross-reference Google searches using the personal details I've already managed to accrue about her from her online presence. In the short time it's taken me to walk to this pub in central London, I probably know more about her than if I'd spent an hour talking to her face-to-face. She doesn't know it yet, but Louise is about to meet her new digital stalker. This is the latest social networking tool to generate online buzz. That's for the worker bees, the buzz, you see. The story has become very familiar in recent years, and then it gives you the usual BS, bothersome stuff. A bright young thing develops an internet application, yeah, sure, that connects people and allows them instantly to communicate with each other. Within months, a million or more people around the planet are using it. Investors queue up expressing an interest, and speculation begins about how much Google, Yahoo, Apple, or Microsoft is willing to throw down to snap it up. To date, the speculative figure in the media has reached 100 million US. So it says Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, and Bebo have all come before it, but Foursquare promises something new. After a decade of false dawns for the industry, it leads the way to a wave of new geolocative social networking tools. Unofficially, at least 2010 has been labeled by many within the technology world as a year of location. In addition to offering global connectivity of Twitter and Facebook, Foursquare also uses your smartphone's global positioning system to broadcast your precise location to your friends and, should you wish, to the wider world, but it also broadcasts it to anybody who might want to stalk you, obviously. And it says users are encouraged to check in on their phone whenever they arrive at a point of interest. You see how they're being trained? You see, you don't program computers or these phones. They program you. Don't you get that? Remember what Skinner said, to alter people's behavior, you must alter something within their environment. Remember Sunstein too, with his prompts and all the rest of it, how they prompt the people and guide them into making the right choices. This is what all this is about too. And the schmucks that use it never catch on. Why? Because other pals are schmucks as well, doing the same damn thing. So it says, when I've got a point of interest, a shop, a cafe, museum, a nightclub, an office, so that fellow users know where they are. A great way, supposedly, to see if any of your friends are around and about. Glance down at your phone, and as I did with Louise, see the names of all the other users around you within a mile or so, and crucially, this is exactly where they are, and fellow users they're with. You'll find out who's all around. So, he follows her, he goes to the bar and finds out she's downstairs in the basement where there's a private meeting, and then eventually he introduces her and blah, 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 and tells her all about herself. And she's all astonished, but then she thinks, well, you know, I guess it's a trade-off, you know, and it'll be a good thing at the same time. So that's how they put it across to you. How wonderful, eh? But as I say, this is for anyone to find out about, but this stuff's really for the NSA. And all the other guys that want to know what you're up to and what you're eating and what your outlay is for food every day. All that kind of stuff. But you can't stop them. It's amazing we live in a society where no one can shut up anymore. You go into a supermarket and you hear people babbling with this thing stuck on their face. Babbling about utter trivia. It's got to babble. Constantly. It's amazing. When you're babbling, you're not thinking. And that's what they've got. They want a society that doesn't think. Amazing. That's amazing. And eventually, of course, they'll have government agencies phoning them up directly, ordering you what to do, or don't buy that, don't buy that. You know, you're overweight by so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. Please put that down. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's so darned obvious what's coming down the pike as they get trained step by step by step. So easy. Now, I've also touched on, too, about depopulation. There's many ways to depopulate. The stealth way is the way they did it in the Western world through inoculations and the food supply. And Canada, they were the test group in Canada, because Canadians don't care much about anything. They're not really fussy about getting upset. And they became the guinea pigs to test out their GMO food for 10 years because the government admitted once it was exposed from Britain, that the government had made secret deals with Monsanto and others to try their food on the population. But having a national health service, you see, you could track everyone and find out all the new diseases that were breaking out, new complications and odd symptoms and odd new diseases, as I say, that were not in the books before. So they know it's working perfectly well with all the sick folk around. Now they want to spread it on the rest of the world.
And we're back, CKLN listeners. That's right, they've been genetically modifying our food for a hot minute now. And yes, there we have all sorts of excuses for saying, oh my goodness, we've been screwed. And a lot of Canadians will make them. That's why there isn't that much going on here, because you'll have a bunch of people who would rather, rock back and forth, muttering, some religious nonsense to speed up the end time, because they think that's when they'll finally be happy. And it's like, man, if you did something now, then you could be happy. And there are people that do. It's just that there's all these little traps and programs out there to make us feel contented with our unhappiness. And that's a type of insanity. And they'll do this, and they'll sell, them four girls on Sex and the City. Be like, pick one. Which mess up are you? To use a radio-friendly version of what I want to say. Which version of a mess are you? That's what they basically try and sell you out there. And then you pick and you graft towards one of those archetypes. And it justifies your nonsense. But here's the thing. Is that, if you try and cut through these lies with some truth, people will recognize that and respect that. And this type of information is, by and large, selfless. Unless you're selling a product of some sort. It's, by and large, selfless. And it would be so cool if a bunch of, men and women in each neighborhood just locked down their block and, like instead of Christmas caroling, truth caroling, go from door to door, with some strength, like a little posse, and say, look, we're not here to hurt you. We just have numbers so that you believe us and you don't think we're isolated whack jobs. And we're just some people from your hood that got to warn you about the risks of vaccines. Especially the new ones. All the old ones weren't no good either. But we all get some toxins. It's just you want to minimize them. And the risks of vaccines by sharing this information. Here's a DVD called The Vaccine Agenda. My colleague Mark Savory at TorontoTruthSeekers.com put this together. Brilliant 6-hour DVD full of presentations by Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Barbara Lowe Fisher, and great movies taking the vaccine issue back to the 80s where parents were going, yo, I know my kid. And I stare at them every day, and they're beautiful, and they're perfect. And then I took them to the doctor, and then after that, they was messed up. And you can say it wasn't the vaccine, but I know a bunch of other parents that have the same story, and none of you fools have any other reason. So, what's up? But anyway, so you go around, and you hand out some information like the vaccine agenda. You hand out, you just print out for 3 cents a page. Vaccine exemption forms in English or French. Go to VRAN.org, and boom, and just lock down your block, and then just tell the people. If you have any questions, you can hit us up at the email address on here. Check out the website, or you can bug me. I'm up the street, And we can just pass on information in our neighborhoods about this and get to know our neighbors and get to know people. Because when you constantly run in game on people, the games we're told to play, then you make each other paranoid, you know. And when ladies out there, when ladies are all paranoid about serious stuff and then guys can't say serious stuff, ladies, you get bored out of your minds anyway. Now, I'm not saying that somebody should take you down and depress you, and we all got to be sensitive to how we've been socialized. But you can't restrict the conversation to one that you're unhappy to have. And guys, too. And you can't just keep it at the BS level and then expect not to get sick of BS at some point. Because you will. Because we all do. You know, tons and tons and tons more on this. But I got to get to these clips here because you just won't believe me about how they want to kill us all and how we got to do something now. Because now that they're public about it, now that they're open about it, you know, we're in a very dangerous time period. Because they're kind of testing us. They're even leaving me on the air, you know, to measure. They're even leaving me on the air to measure, you know, the effectiveness of people like myself in getting people going. And so if we don't go, they're gonna haul my ass off of the air or whatever. And then they're gonna go for the hard kill, massive depopulation crap. And because this is what they do. And they test Alex Jones, they test everybody, and they have this massive surveillance grid, and they're going to get us one way or another. Energy prices are going up this winter. They're telling us everything. They're telling us everything. Not all of us are paying attention, and certainly whatever, but they're not, you know. I mean, there's a Rockefeller Foundation document that's got the next, you know, 30, 40 years mapped out with all these crazy scenarios. And by 2012, the real pandemic hits. H1N1 wasn't a big deal, but this one is, and kills 22 million people. And there's mass starvation here. And there's a bunch of reports like this. And then there's a bunch of movies like Resident Evil 3 or the new Mila Jovovich one. You're all going to die again. Or, you know, a bunch of movies like that. A bunch of depressing, you know, relationship stories out there. Why you can't find a date? Why you can't find a guy? Why you can't find a girl? We're being raised by vampires and turned into zombies, and so we got a bunch of vampire and zombie books out there, and it's just it's all craziness. And if you don't know why, then you'll just assume it's all normal, and you'll take to it with your guard down, it'll smack you in the head. So I'm going to take you to a clip of talk show host Mancow Muller, a populist, on the Alex Jones show, talking about the kids' laboitimization, about how boys ain't really seem to be interested in girls anymore as much as they used to be because of the use of bisphenol A and other estrogen leaking, elements in soy and other things to feminize us, emasculate us, make us less aggressive. You know, if I didn't have, you know, good teachers, thank God, who kind of co-signed the fact that I was asking smart questions, and yeah, it is smart to question the system once in a while, I'd be lobotomized right now. I should have been Prozac'd up. If I didn't have good relatives who encouraged me to talk, then I wouldn't know how, or I wouldn't be any good at it. And now that I am reasonably good at it, I'm just telling you that they're this generation. If you're a yappy, happy puppy, then they're going to drug you until you fall in line. And this isn't everybody, and this isn't the whole system. And you got to be nice, because there are people out there who work for NGOs that we got to work with, who work for the medical industry we got to work with, who work for everybody that we got to work with, work for the cops we got to work with. And the cops, some of them mess around. I caught a couple messing around with this boyish-looking black girl, and this black dude was filming them, and this cop came over and said, "Hey, stop," you know, and he didn't. And I came over, I saw what was going on, I was like, "Hey man, I got your back, like, you know, let's film this." But the girl wandered off, and the cops wandered off, and me and this dude was talking for a sec. Well, he was like, "I hate those guys." And I was like, "Man, I saw 1,000 of them hang out with 10,000 of you young black people at Caravana, nothing pop off." I said, "It's good to keep it around though, because on a given day, who knows, a given place, who knows." And that's on the negative side. But on the positive side, my pops was in the States, and the car broke down, and he called AAA because they got to deal with CAA, and AAA wouldn't come. And then a cop pulled over to the side of the road, was like asking my pops, "Yo, what's the problem?" My pops was like, "Yo, AAA won't come." So the cop was like, "Hold on a minute." He called AAA. He said, "Get your ass over here. What's wrong with you?" So, you know, and my dad's a little old brown guy, you know, and then if you look. I don't know why this thing won't play when I push it one. Anyway, And then if you look at Clubland, I was in Clubland on Saturday night. And I remember Clubland last year, and I've been tracking the developments because we are going under Northcom martial law. We can stop it. That's good news. But we are going under Northcom martial law. And so I'm tracking how they're implementing that piecemeal. Even crazy fire trucks driving around yesterday and then stopping, you know, just south of Dundas Square on Yonge Street to take pictures of people. And I was all pissed off. I was like, man, you guys can't be running crazy drills where four fire engines are driving around, maybe almost killing somebody in downtown Toronto. And then you stop and there's people trying on your hats and taking pictures. And it may not even be your fault. But again, this is the type of crap that's going on. And so I'm in Clubland on Saturday night. And Clubland is a club district here in downtown Toronto. And I'm looking after working at a cafe there for a bit on some stuff after flowering all day. I was just chilling and working on some ideas. And I'm looking in Clubland. And last year, I remember there being like 50, 60 cops all over the place, yellow vests, everything, just standing outside the clubs, forming an imposing presence. On Saturday night, they'd be like three cops at the corner of Peter and John. That's it. Still a bunch of people there. Still nothing pop off, to the best of my knowledge. And again, I do think that inside the system, you know, if people talk about how stupid something is or whatever, how it doesn't make sense, or they question it or challenge it, or the system itself gets a buzz that's going on among groups within the system, outside of the system, at the local bar or whatever, then things can be changed. And we got to start buzzing.
The Daily Mail and others coming out and saying,
on the outside, too. But I'm running out of time here, so this is AJ with Mancow Muller, and after that, Michael Kaufman. And they're going to break down a bit of what's been going on.
And now Wired Magazine has come out and called me a liar, and it turns out this guy is a Rhodes Scholar who has written this report and studies and writes about the brain. And in this article at the end, he says Alex Jones is a liar. But in the article, he admits that in the news articles I quoted, they did say in the headline. In fact, find that Mail headline. It was, shots to make you calm, deal with stress. They admit that's what's going on here, but they say it's for your own good. You shouldn't be upset about it. Mancow, what's your view on this?
Well, Alex, this is such a big topic. Let me start, and you're going to think this is crazy. Let me just start. My father was the mayor of Lakers, New Jersey. I've got newspapers of him with John F. Kennedy. It was around the time they were putting fluoride in the water that he heard from different political sources how dangerous this was. My whole life I heard my father talk about fluoride and how evil it was, and that the government had some plan, and that if you ate fluoride, you would die. And he was quite controversial for fighting fluoride. He never would allow us to have fluoride. Because of that, I should tell you that my dental bills have been awful. But he swore till the day he died that it was deadly stuff. Now let me fast forward here to the last few years, Alex. When I was 15 years old or 16 or in my 20s, whatever, all I thought about was girls. And I see these young men now. They're not interested. And I talk to young women, you know, different college interns on my stupid radio show. And no, the guys are rather sit around and play video games and watch TV like zombies. Now, I live in the city of Chicago. I'm putting all this together. I know this sounds like I'm all over the place. But I'm sitting in Chicago, and you see these people just walk right out of the traffic. They're like cattle. And everything that's going on, and nobody gets upset. Everybody's calm. The boys are docile. Now, I remember the teachers attacking masculinity. Anyone who went to public school in the last 50 years, remember how the teachers would attack masculinity. So I thought, is that it? But these girls aren't, you know, these girls and boys, you know, the boys aren't interested in being with girls, or they're passive. Where is it masculinity? Whenever America needs a man to be a man in a movie, whenever we need a masculine man, we go to Australia or New Zealand, right? Are you there?
No, I'm listening to you. Okay. Well, Mancow, okay. I mean, we're about to go to break. Stay with us. But in all these reports, they admit they want to make us passive. They want to make us servile. They admit now they want to put it in there to make us servile. And when you study the water supplies, they're already adding it. They keep finding Prozac, all these other chemicals, lithium in higher levels, as well as fluoride, than what should even be there from sewage runoff. Stay there. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about this.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, he's a big big part of our film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. I think it's the most important film I've made, close to 3 hours long. And on the expanded extras, he reads from major university studies how they were openly saying that they were drugging and were going to drug the population by the year 2000 to make us a servile population. Now the Huffington Post, the New York Times, BBC are saying the Japanese, the U.S. government, and others, the national centers at the federal government. I think, let me just read you the quote here from the U.S. National Institutes of Health, are looking at vaccines that will, quote, change our brain chemistry with a live herpes virus. This is just one of hundreds of vaccines that do this, that, quote, cure drug use. Other vaccines do that by attacking the receptor sites. Those receptors, those drugs are mimicking normal endorphins. You're meant to get angry at corruption. You're meant to get outraged. You're meant to be stressed. You know, if your child's dying of cancer, they don't want you to be able to respond. And EcoScience talks about drugging the water to sterilize you. Now, in just the last hour, a big report from Wired magazine, The Frontal Cortex by John Lear, who's a Rhodes Scholar, that's set up to create world government. He comes out and says, I'm a liar. And he says, well, yes, my earlier article, you know, was quoted as saying it'll make you calmer and make society happier is what the scientist says with this one vaccine, one of many I mentioned. But I won't show you the video Alex created about this called Brain-Eating Vaccines. No, but most of the people in the comment section are attacking him and see through him. But this is so incredible. So incredible they've gone from denying that they're doing this to our water to now saying it's for our own good and they want to give us vaccines that do this. So I want to go to Michael Kaufman, PhD. He is a published ecologist. He's advised the federal and state governments. He's the guy that shot down one of the big UN takeovers in the 90s with the maps he put together from government documents of how over half the country will be off limits to the population. It's all covered in Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. He's produced several films exposing man-made global warming as a hoax 4 or 5 years ago when you still got attacked for doing it. And in the last 2 years, he's released a new one. They're all available at Infowars.com. And his new book, Rescuing a Broken America, Why America is Deeply Divided. We'll talk about this some too with him. But he's spoken about this covert drugging that's in the government documents, but now it's out in the open. Why do you think it's out in the open now?
Well, so many of the things that the cartel had was planning for us 20, 30 years ago in secret is now basically being discussed because they think it's too late for us to do anything about it. And we are so dumbed down in our educational system for the last several generations that most people just say, ho-hum, it's business as usual, and go on their way. I think that, in fact, if I remember right, the quote that I used out of one of these government documents basically said that. They were going to be able to manipulate us with these kinds of drugs and so forth to the point where we'll be very docile, and we won't even be able to respond when something irate does come up.
And there's no doubt the public with the bisphenol A does the same thing, sodium fluoride. We had Dr. Blaylock on about it yesterday. Now the lithium, they admit, is to dumb us down and make us servile, a toxic metal. And they're moving ahead to do this and saying, we're going to give you shots that alter you. And we know they've already been doing it, lacing other vaccines. And you know, in the film, in the expanded extras of Endgame, you talk about and you read the U.S. government and university quotes where they talked about their master plan. Huxley, before he died in 62, he'd written Brave New World Revisited that was nonfiction. And he said, all of this is what we're planning. This is what we're going to do. You're going to love your servitude. And so you wonder why the public can't get upset. And you wonder why cancer rates and infertility are off the charts. This has been done by design.
I believe it has been, too. I think there's no doubt, based on some of the things that I discussed on Endgame and other things, other writings and so forth that I've done, that they have these techniques of being able to calm down society and basically take our free will.
And, you know, God gives us free will, but I guess, God doesn't know what he's doing, or the universe doesn't know what's going on. It's up to these control freaks. They are going to take our free will, and that's what this does.
Yes, it does. In fact, some of that is in my new book, The Rescuing of Broken America.
Well, we're going to get into the book, but, you know, that's Dr. Blaylock, of course, top brain surgeon, agreed with you, and he read the government's own quotes about brain damaging us yesterday, that they think they've won. because they see how they can get away with almost anything now. And imagine if Hitler or Stalin or Mao, I mean, they did have fluoride, but imagine if they would have had these more high-tech systems. I mean, it's literally the end of our species if we don't reverse this.
Yes, it is. And, boy, I'm telling you, we're right at the very end now. You and I have talked about this on your program for, what, 5 or 6 years now at different times, that we're getting close. Well, we're at that point now.
Well, it's more than that. I've been interviewing you for 12 years, but, yeah, we've been...
Okay, it's been 12 years. It could very well be. Just, my memory is getting shorter and shorter.
Oh, no, I mean, I've been on air 15 years. And let's talk about some of your successes, though, so people understand we can fight these people. Tell folks about how in the early 90s, mid-90s, you were able to get their documents on the Wilding Project and shoot down that U.N. treaty.
Yes, I was able to get both United Nations, federal, as well as behind-the-scenes NGO, non-government organization, documents that said that the Wildlands Project was going to set aside one half of the United States and other countries as well, but into wilderness areas or interconnecting wilderness corridors. And it was able to make those links back into the United Nations Convention on Biological Diversity back in the early 1990s. When it came up for ratification in the U.S. Senate, I went down to the Senate, explained this to some of the key senators. They said ho-hum because I couldn't prove that that's what it was designed to do. And in August, we sent out a fax alert, which was the technology of the day, shut it down, collapsed the U.S. Senate phone line system, and they brought it back up again in September, and we did it again, and it was still going to the floor for ratification, and I was able to submit a map that I had drawn over the previous 2 years to the U.S. Senate. They put it into a 4-by-6-foot poster, took it out on the Senate floor at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The vote was for 4 o'clock, and it was stopped dead in its tracks. It's still there, but it has nothing's been done on it since. And I use that as an example, not to elevate myself, but to show you how God can intervene and how he can use individuals to be able to thwart this agenda. And I think we're at that point right now in this whole effort to basically take over and get the last vestiges of the constitutional protections away from you and I in this next election. If we don't stop it in this next election, or stop it, at least slow it down, it's going to be too late.
Well, I want to go to another point. The Rockefellers, over 100 years ago, they didn't like charity, so they invented the philanthropist,
right.
and this is mainline history. They invented the tax-free foundation, and they sold the public, oh, you're breaking up our trust in 1906. We're not going to have monopolies now. But then it comes out the Rockefellers still own the major oil companies. Now they're allowing the new super rich, like Michael Bloomberg and Barron Hilton and Bill Gates and others. And, in fact, we have that Times of London headline, Super Rich Meet in Secret, to talk about population control. Will you guys pull up that Times of London, Super Rich Meet in Secret, to talk about population control? And so they've met again for population control, and they're all pledging, 30 billionaires, to give large portions, in some cases more than half their wealth, to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and David Rockefeller's pledged more money. But then when you read it, the entire foundation is for nanotech vaccines, mosquitoes that deliver vaccines so you can't say no, sterilization, abortion. Here it is. More billionaires sign the Gates Buffett pledge. And we'll pop that back up on screen. Billionaire club and bid to curb overpopulation. I mean, this isn't a game. I mean, they're moving against us. They believe the planet's theirs. They want us out of the way.
Yes, they do. There's no question about that. I was unaware of what you just said, but it fits very nicely within their game plan.
Back, CKLN listeners. Again, that was Michael Kaufman, Michael C-O-F-F-M-A-N. You can Google his name for a bit more. We were listening to an album by the Fitzroy Terrors, a friend of mine, actually, in the interest of full disclosure, is, I think, the leader of that band. And so Google F-I-T-Z-R-O-Y, Terrors. They have a show on August 19th. I forget where it is. I got the handbill, but I forget where it is. And so just Google Fitzroy Terrors or The Fitzroy Terrors, August 19th. And you should pull up some online listing of their show. It's fun party rock. If you want to go there with your girl and get your groove on, it's a great place to go. But I know you better. And so not only do I know you want to do that, I want you to know, you know, what's going on with the whole depopulation thing. Well, I'm reading the covers of the 24 and the Metro today. And there's a... Rob Godfrey with a tiny, cute little gray and white kitten on the cover here. And it says, outrage in the cover of 24. OSPCA Chair Rob Godfrey is not pleased to learn that all charges of animal cruelty, conspiracy, and obstruction are to be dropped against the Toronto Humane Society. And cruelty charges dropped on the cover of the Metro. Crown questions OSPCA's motivation in regards to Toronto Humane Society warrant. Outraged OSPCA calls on Attorney General to review court decision. So, not only is this a bad news kick in the sack, like the, we're going to use Wi-Fi in schools anyway, even though it sickens kids, from yesterday's Metro, and from other articles, this is also part of the anti-human agenda. They're trying to elevate animals to the status over humans, and the UN does that in their Earth Charter. And they've trained us, you know, they've showed us pictures of dead bodies on TV for years, blown up in movies, and CSI cutting them open, and then they've elevated animals through cartoons and anthropomorphization of them to the point where if we see an Iraqi puppy thrown off a cliff in a video, it'll cause massive outrage, and yet if we see Iraqis dead on TV, you know, it doesn't bother us, you know, quite as much, and we should figure out why. So there's a reason these stories are given to us, because over time, as they elevate the status of animals in our minds, they can do it legally and then convince us we're scum, and then they can, you know, depopulate us, and we wouldn't mind so much. Premier Dad, not afraid of knockout, page three of the Metro, just a couple of pages in from the cover, and yeah, it's got him with the semi-fist up, kind of punching towards the air here. Premier Dad. We have a Premier Dad. You know, if that doesn't tell you the government's trying to treat us like kids, I don't know what the hell will. And the Metro always throws in a hot chick on the cover, you know, with, you know, their horrible story. And this is Jill Hennessy, formerly of Law & Order fame. I love Jill Hennessy. She's got a twin sister, too. My buddy knows her, and apparently she's really hot. But the point is that she's on here strumming a folk guitar, singing some folk songs. It says Hennessy gets back to her roots. Again, this is not, I got nothing against people being people. This is the editorial decisions of the media that we have to understand and question. A Wi-Fi to stay in school despite health worry. Again, from Monday, August 16th, Keith Leslie, the Canadian Press article. Mind-reading marketers have ways of making you buy. This is from the New Scientist magazine. So these things are discussed in professional circles, folks. Do keep that in mind. And the Star is saying hydro hike looms with break to the industry. I've been telling you, it's going to get hot in the winter by getting cold because bills are going up. Bills will make clear the real cost of credit. Credit card issuers required to show consumers how much it costs to carry a balance. So not credit cards being forced to tell us, but probably be in small print. Happy, touch this. The London School of Economics launches Mappiness, a study to define happiness, relationships between humans and nature, and other humans too. And so again, these are all articles from thestar.com here, talking about how they basically want to keep us happy through this process. But fortunately, you can go to places, you know, where you can find out that unhappy people can engage in things like civil disobedience, the return of civil disobedience. The first article I see here from Infowars.com by Bob Livingston, Personal Liberty Digest, a reprint at Infowars. Because again, Infowars collects the best of the Indian mainstream news to form an alternate narrative to get our heads right today. And it starts, it's good to see civil disobedience making a comeback. And it's true. It won't matter if we know a lot. You know, what'll matter is if we show. is if we show. I know thousands of people were happy to take our flyers and DVDs last year when the H1N1 pandemic was scaring the crap out of everybody. I know that this radio station has 10 to 20,000 listeners. You know, I don't know how many my show has, but I'm assuming, who knows, a few hundred, a few thousand. I'm hoping that some of you folks email me at blackkrishna@gmail.com with what you've done. Did you put up a poster, flyer, comment on message board, call into mainstream talk radio, breakthrough with some truth? You know, did you share info with your neighbors, with your family? Let me know at blackkrishna@gmail.com. I even stopped posting the shows because I'm too busy. I'm going flyering. Like, I'm not taking a couple hours to do this unless I know there's dividends. And it's nothing personal, guys. It's just there are people out there that do stuff. And once you do stuff, you're in a much better mood. And if Patrick from Conspiracy Culture wants to have a back to school promo, I can help him with that. If Dan Dix and from Press for Truth does, whatever. If Victor Fletcher wants to, fine. You know, once you have something going, we can advise each other on things. You know, and that's how you value your opinion. When your friend's trying to get something done, then you help them. That, you know, that's what it is. And when you help them not with a problem, but with a solution. You know, with a business idea, with a creative idea, if you help them develop that. And when it comes to this game of fighting government and corporate corruption that threatens all of us, you know, let's get a couple of things straight, including each other's heads. Before Mr. Carl Smith takes you on an amazing four-hour journey, one flight up, jazzify your life, I'm going to shout out Infowars.com, NaturalNews.com, CuttingThroughTheMatrix.com, HenryMAKOW.com, and locally, PressForTruth.ca, ConspiracyCulture.com, let's see, who else, TorontoTruthSeekers.com, TheAgoraNational.ca, CanadaFreePress.com, CanadiansForHealthFreedom.org, interviewed Ms. Dee Nicholson last night and on the health issues, and so I'll post that shortly. And yeah, folks, let's get out there and let's help each other out. Peace out.